again and again. We enter into number 15, which is filled with all sorts of insights as to how to develop consciousness. Please remember, we are not here to build an intellectual understanding of the Tao. The Tao is a flow. It is the natural flow of life itself. And when one understands that natural flow, when one is susceptible to it, which is understanding it, then we do not fight. We do not work against that flow. We stay continuous in it. So again, we return to number 15. Ancient masters of excellence had a subtle essence, and a depth too profound to comprehend. Because they were impossible to comprehend, I will try to describe them by their appearance. Cautious, like crossing a river in the winter. Wary, as if surrounded by strangers. Dignified, like a guest. Yielding, like ice about to melt. Simple, like uncarved wood. Open, like a valley. Obscure, like muddy waters. Who can wait in stillness while the mud settles? Who can rest until the moment of action? There's a lot to take in right there. And remember, he's saying you can tell a master who holds the subtle essence that is too profound to comprehend with the average mind. They are cautious. They are wary of their surroundings. They are dignified like a guest. They are yielding, simple, open, and yet obscure. This is all very confusing to the average person. The pedestrian mentality tries to put together elements of understanding where they don't really belong. These elements have nothing to do with the subtle essence. When we enter into the meaning and the significance of an authentic spiritual practice, we have entered into a whole new world, a world that is much more profound than our human understanding can comprehend and even calculate. We are very calculating people. What is interesting is obscure like muddy waters. The way looks obscure to most people. You just can't get it because it has nothing to do with their outer life, their humdrum kind of understanding, comprehension, which is based in insecurity. We're good at 2 and 2 make 4, but we have no idea of the existence and the meaning of that calculation, of that teaching. 2 and 2, what does that mean? Why do we add them together? What do they make? What is the truth of them? Why is 2 and 2 even there? Why does it make 4? How do we know it's 4? All of these things. Well, we don't take into account. The way, the truth, the light is obscure in our muddy waters of mind and how we live in that muddy mind. So Lao Tzu talks about meditation in a different way. a mind that is no longer seeking to consider what is right and wrong, good and bad. He says, who can wait in stillness while the mud settles? This is very interesting comment. In fact, I found it to be so deeply beautiful, and it reminded me of the story of Buddha and Ananda one afternoon as they were walking towards a village. Buddha said, I am feeling very thirsty. Could you please go back? We passed about 2 miles back a beautiful small stream of crystal clear water. So please take my begging bowl and fill it with water. I will rest here under the tree. He was growing old in his body. Ananda went back, but as he approached the little stream, a few bullock carts had passed through that stream. The crystal clear water had suddenly disappeared. It became all muddy with dead leaves that were lying at the bottom of the little stream. And they are now floating on the surface. It was not worth drinking at that point. So he went back and he told the Buddha, the water we missed. I was just there, and a few bullock carts had passed through and disturbed the whole water and its purity. It's now all mud and dead leaves. It certainly is not fit for you. So I have not brought any water. I will go ahead because I know there is a bigger river ahead, and I will bring you water from there. Oh, but the Buddha, he was very persistent. His subtle essence, he's always teaching. All great Zen teachers are always teaching, no matter what. There is no moment where they just lay back. I never lay back. He said, you should go back. I don't know about your river, but I have seen that crystal clear water. Please just do one thing. If it is not yet clean, sit by it and wait. Sit by it till it clears again. Well, there was no other way for Ananda to react. He had to go back, but he went back reluctantly. He went back unwillingly, thinking that the Buddha was being stubborn. This is not right. The water is not going to be crystal clear again, he thought. But when he reached the stream, he said, oh my, he's right. The mud had settled a bit, and the leaves were gone. They went downstream. The water was far better than when he had left it the last time, although it was still not drinkable in his opinion. So he sat by the side of this little stream, and within an hour, it again was crystal clear. He took the water and he gave the water to the Buddha and said, please forgive me. Because I was angry on the way. I was thinking that you were being stubborn. I had gone unwillingly to get you the water. I felt so sad that I did something so unwillingly for you. And now I know it has nothing to do with the question of the water, because the water could be brought from the river too. You were teaching me a method. Sitting by the side of the small stream, I learned. Because as the stream was getting clearer, there was nothing else to do. Suddenly, the parallel came to my mind. Perhaps the mind is also like this situation. You just have to sit by the side and let the mind settle down. When it settles, it is not fighting. It is a new mind, a mind of emptiness. To fight with the mind and give it energy and keep it alive is foolish. Buddha merely smiled. Who can wait in stillness while the mud settles? Not many. The mind is always fighting, pitching one thought against another, leaving us only to be able to conjure up what we think of as the rationale for logic and reasoning, and that doesn't work either. A mind that is empty, a mind that is no longer concerned with right and wrong, good and bad, that mind is a cautious mind. It is wary of what is going on around it. It is dignified like a guest. It understands that things are going to change, yielding. A mind that is yielding to emptiness becomes simple, open, yet obscure to the common logic and reasoning of a person. And most people do not have the patience to wait, to sit by their mind and wait for it to settle. Keeping it going with doubt and fear, anger and pride, we never find that the mind can settle. But when it becomes obvious to us that the profound, the depth of it, cannot be comprehended by the pedestrian mentality that you and I work from, that is when we begin to understand beyond the confines of our intellectual prowess. We begin to awaken and what I call self-realize. This is very hard for most people. They can't self-realize. I have found in my years of teaching that most people are much more stuck in their pride than they are in their heart. And this is why I say to you, my dearly beloveds here, that I teach, that I have sessions with regularly, they struggle. Not because they're stupid, but because they're generally too smart for their own good. They have not cultivated virtue. They have not cultivated love inside them at all. Love to most people is strictly emotionality. Ananda had to figure out, do I love my master enough to be willing to wait and not be the stubborn one? It is not the Buddha that was being stubborn. It is me. I insist upon my mind acting in this way and that way, assuming, and being then eventually consumed by my assumptions. This is the muddy waters that he talks about. Obscure muddy waters. Yes, he asked the question, who can wait in stillness while the mud settles? In my stillness, in your stillness, we find the strength. We find the ability to rest until the moment of action when it is actually needed. Our minds are always coming to conclusions. So what is happening is we come to a conclusion, something we think we know is going to happen, and then we build our whole life, our whole agenda, our whole living around this. I've had students come and try to work on the way within themselves and get so deeply frustrated that they quit. They don't want to see how impatient they are, how how deeply unkind they are, how they have no essence within them. This subtle essence, again, that Lhotse talks about, is something that is incomprehensible to the average person. It can't be understood. It can't be faked. It can't be any of those things. Life is authentic. And the effort I must make is to merge with that authentic. This is why I say it is all about love. Love is realized in no thingness. When I am no longer fighting with my thoughts or rearranging my thoughts to fit whatever it is I think is quote unquote spiritual. No, it doesn't work like that. It is impossible to comprehend the manner of the way. There is nothing that Gregory Edward can do to understand it. He can't mimic it. He can't fake it. He has to sit by the little stream and wait. Now, the average person doesn't want to wait. They have no incentive to wait. Why would you do that? What is the payoff for doing something this simple, this profound? Well, if you're waiting for your mind to come up with an answer, you're going to find it very disappointing. Waiting for our minds to show up in our life, to reveal some sort of excuse or some sort of reasoning, is futile. This is why the world is full of very smart people who start all sorts of trouble in this lifetime. Useless, unnecessary suffering. You and I have to look at our life from a different point of view. Simplicity, solitude, silence. Watch how your mind resists all of this and tries to confuse you. What does that mean? How do I do that? You have to wait in stillness while the mud settles to cultivate a mind that is no longer in conflict with itself, not accepting philosophies and reasonings, but rather sits in the stillness. If you sit in the stillness, yielding to the heart, you will find a great virtue being born in you. In this virtue is love. In this love, there is no mind, there is no reason, there is no purpose. There is only love. It would be like being a fish, being immersed in the sea. The only purpose the fish has is to exist in the sea. The fish does not question the sea. It is what it belongs to. What you belong to is love. This is something that most people simply do not understand and refuse to understand, because to be in that sea of love, one has to be yielding. And we consider that kind of thought, that kind of yielding, as being a weakness. We miss. Let's sit by the little stream together, you and I, right now. Let's just sit and wait. until the mud settles in our mind. Lhotse said, observe the simple. Embrace what is essential. Observe what is simple. Embrace what is essential.